And now we're going to talk about books. We have books for the political campaigning season, and we have an email challenge for you. What's the one book that you think is indispensable reading for this year's political campaign? Send it to us, TOTN at NPR.org, if you have a nominee. Negative campaigning may be a turnoff for most people, but that doesn't seem to be the case for publishers and their customers. Political books are hot this year. More than a few fall into the attack genre. Granted, a surge in the popularity of political books is not surprising during a closely contested presidential election. But with so many out there, how do you pick the ones with more information than incentive or invective, for that matter? We'll spend the rest of this hour coming up with a list to guide you through the next few months. And, of course, we want your help. If you have a suggestion as to the one book to read, TOTN at NPR.org, or if you'd like to call in, our phone number is 800-989-8255. 800-989-TALK. And Steve Wasserman joins us now. He's editor of the Los Angeles Times Book Review. He's agreed to help us compile our election year reading list, and he's with us from our studios at NPR West. Thanks for being with us.
A pleasure, Neil.
So when's the last time? Does it seem like there's more books coming out this year, or were there this many 4 years ago?
Well, it certainly is the case that we've been deluged with an avalanche of books that try to appeal to this or that partisan taste. And it does seem anecdotally to be the case that we have more than perhaps ever before. But there is, of course, a long tradition to the brickbat publishing tradition in American letters. And one could even perhaps observe that it began with Tom Paine's Common Sense.
Well, that wasn't electioneering. It was, I guess, electioneering for the country.
To be sure, but there's a long tradition of politically charged books, and it does seem to be the case that publishers batten on a public which is divided over particularly charged issues, and then those who think that the public, or at least some portion of it, has a taste for more than the soundbite, deliver themselves of books worth reading.
Well, we seem to be debating a lot of Vietnam War issues this time around. Remind us, were there books like this that came out during the election of, oh, say, 1968?
Well, let's go back a little further. The first pamphlet, I believe, that was published against the war in Vietnam was by Robert Scheer, who later went on to be an editor of Ramparts magazine in the 60s and is currently a columnist for, as it happens, the Los Angeles Times. It was called How the United States Got Involved in Vietnam. It was turned down by at least 20 publishers and in the end was published by something called the Center for the Study of Democratic Institutions, a think tank located in Santa Barbara. But there were others, of course, as the war continued, as American involvement deepened, and then finally in 1969 with the publication by Seymour Hersh, who was most noted by listeners as the man who helped expose the Abu Ghraib scandal in Baghdad in the pages of The New Yorker, for whom he currently writes. But, of course, back in 1969, he helped expose the My Lai massacre in Vietnam, and that was his first bestseller.
So let's look at this time around, and I understand you have a fairly helpful way of categorizing the spate of books that has erupted this year.
Well, when I try to look at all of these books and try to make sense of them, they do seem to fall into a number of different categories. There are those books that are by professional pundits, members of what might be called, in Eric Alterman's phrase, the punditocracy, those professional commentators who have delivered themselves of a kind of confection of prejudices, which may appeal to this or that reader. Whether it's Pat Buchanan or Bill O'Reilly or Sean Hannity on the punitive right or the Paleolithic right, or whether on the left it's Michael Moore, or in fictional guise, Nicholson Baker's recent novella called Checkpoint. There's something for everyone's taste with regard to the pundits. Then there's a category that might be called sort of professional comedians, political comedians of one kind or another. Dennis Miller, of course. There might be some disagreement about whether or not Michael Moore falls into that category. I leave it to readers to judge. And then, of course, there are books by those who have a personal story to tell that sheds light on a unfolding or developing issue, whether it was Richard Clark's book, which told the story of how an administration, which in his view had bungled the war on terror, or whether it's a book by a journalist like Bob Woodward that proposes to give us the inside scoop on the run-up to war and how it unfolded. So I would say there are at least three categories, pundits, professional commentators, journalists, of course, and the out-and-out clowns.
And there is a fourth category, though, and that is the books by the candidates themselves, or position papers by their speechwriters, if you prefer. I know that Kerry and Edwards have one out this year. Is there a Bush compliment?
I haven't seen it as such, but I imagine it exists. And I should, in truth in advertising, I should confess to the viewership that back in 1992, I was the editor and publisher of a campaign document that was put together, which I published. I was then editorial director at Times Books, then a division of Random House, for the Clinton-Gore campaign. It was called Putting People First. So I have some firsthand knowledge of these books. They're hardly to be dignified with the title of books. They are campaign documents.
All right. Let's get some listeners involved in the conversation. Again, 800-989-8255 or email us, TOTN@npr.org. Mary joins us from San Marcos, California.
Oh, hello. Can
Hi.
You hear me?
Yes, you're on the air, Mary. Go ahead.
Wonderful. Wonderful. I've been trying very hard after finding John Kerry's book, A Call to Service, My Vision for a Better America, which I think you've probably just inadvertently mentioned.
Yes.
It is now out in paperback as of July 04, and of course has been out since Christmas before that. But it's not controversial. It's just a vision of what he feasibly plans and what he'd like to do with the critical issues. The chapters are wonderful. He's talking about expanding our commonwealth, mm-hmm. creating world-class schools, modern healthcare system, creating defending the environment, which is in such terrible repair at the moment, and reviving democracy and citizenship. Now, you maybe have read it, but I'm finding amongst my friends and people on planes I'm meeting, nobody has even heard of this book.
Steve Wasserman, has this come into the category of campaign document, this book?
Yes, I think it does. And, of course, the challenge that campaigns and serious politicians who do indeed have some large commitment to the notion of citizenship, the challenge they face is cutting through the noise of the culture. The oddity is that very often they embrace that very archaic form, the book, as the best means to convey some vision. And what's odd about that is that we live in a soundbite culture, and yet they're embracing an instrument which is quite old-fashioned, throwing the dice, hoping that the gamble will pay off, that there are enough people out there in radio land, in newspaper land, in television land, that will actually pick up that ancient dinosaur, the book, make their way through the several hundred pages it will contain, and at the end of it, think the candidate actually has something to say. The risk they take, of course, is that they will have simply put together a series of promises by which voters and the electorate can judge whether or not what they said one day will actually come to pass the day after tomorrow.
Tom Hope in Portland, Oregon, suggests A National Party No More by Zell Miller. I've been pro-union since I understood what they were. He wrote, I'm very leery of the free trade crowd and feel the corporations have too much pull in politics. These are all traditional Democratic Party positions, but the Democrats of today, he writes, have become the party of the weird rather than the party of the people. Reagan, an ex-Democrat, said it best, I didn't leave the Democratic Party, they left me. Would this be the memoir inside account, a Democratic senator explaining why he's no longer supporting the candidate of his own party?
Well, it could be. I've not read that particular book, but I think there's something on offer in the smorgasbord of delights that are to be found in the vast palaces of culture that go by the name of bookstores. There's something for every taste in America today.
All right. We're talking with Steve Wasserman, editor of the Los Angeles Times Book Review. He's with us from our studios at NPR West. We're talking about political reading. What must you read before this year's election day? 800-989-8255. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Lauren Schultz of Rockville, Maryland, suggests that we read the Constitution before we vote, then consider why we vote and who to vote for. We'll take that as an absolute given. Everybody should do that. Craig Sewell of Framingham, Massachusetts, writes, it's hard to say which is the one best book to read before the election. I think it's a toss-up between Plan of Attack by Bob Woodward or the 9/11 Commission report. Both have been recommended by the Bush campaign. To my great surprise, both books clearly show Bush to be inept in matters of national security. That's Craig's reading of those two books. And those are the 9/11 Commission report, an unusual government report, reads more like a procedural rather than the dry tome that those blue ribbon panels generally produce. Let's get another caller on the line, and let's talk with Sherry. Sherry's in Virginia Beach.
Hi, Neil. The book I have in mind is not specifically about either candidate, but it is about what's happening in our world today with terrorism and everything, and it's called New Revelations by Neil Donald Walsh, in which there is outlined the five steps to peace. And the thrust of the book is that these most wars are about belief system, one group believing that they are right and the other group is wrong. And I would say the best point of the book is that if we gave up the idea that we are better than another, that our way is better or the only way, most wars would fall apart.
And Sherry, which way would that lead you to make a political decision?
Well, I haven't seen any candidate address this issue on its basic level of beliefs, but I certainly think that John Kerry is at least able to consider and look at new things. I'd love for him to read the book as well.
Okay, Sherry, thanks very much for the phone call.
Welcome.
Those are not Bush. A book like that is not a direct political commentary. Are those, a lot more people are going to be reading the Kitty Kelly book about the Bush family?
I would think so.
Or for that matter, the Swift Boat Veterans for Truth book. Than that suggestion. And those are both, of course, leaping into the fray with knuckles bared, as we've been talking about. Have you managed to read the Kitty Kelly book yet?
I've not. My reviewer is just getting the book. It was embargoed, published by Doubleday. I believe the actual publication date is tomorrow. Kitty Kelly, as everyone knows, has written interestingly, if controversially, on past figures like Frank Sinatra and Nancy Reagan. There's much anticipatory gossip about this book, and whether it's just another version of the higher gossip or it actually has something to say that sheds light on the character of the man who was president of the United States, we shall see. But it'll be read very avidly, and I think with a fine-tooth comb by both campaigns.
Kitty Kelly's one of her regular responses is that she's never been sued successfully, so take that into account. Let's talk with TJ. TJ's calling from Sunnydale, California.
Good morning. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
My question is what you had earlier said about the choice of the book as a format for expressing these ideas. I was wondering if it's really a way for people who want to make an under-the-table contribution to a candidate to just say, buy 10,000 books and look, there's money in the pocket.
Oh, for the official campaign document-style book.
Yes.
Is that at all, Steve Wasserman? Is that, I guess, that Kerry book, the money would go to either Senator Kerry or to his campaign?
Probably it would go to, they've probably structured it in such a way that if the campaign bought copies at discount, the money goes to a special fund. But that is a consideration, because there are laws that govern whether or not a book published by a publisher like a Random House or a W.W. Norton, there are constraints on candidates governing the use of royalties for these purposes.
I believe a former Speaker of the House of Representatives got into trouble on this very point.
I think that's correct. Newt
yes.
Gingrich had to return the advance.
I think it was Jim Wright, too. But anyway, TJ, thanks for the call. Here's some more email suggestions. This is, I'm not sure who it's from, Kathleen Hall Jameson's Everything You Always Wanted to Know About Politics. T.B. Brick in Northwestern Indiana suggests Imperial Hubris by Anonymous. And several callers and emailers suggested James Mann's book, The Rise of the Vulcans. It's fascinating and shows the thinking from the bunch who brought us this mess in Iraq, according to Dillard Richardson in Charlotte, North Carolina. But the biographical portraits are very interesting, especially of Richard Armitage. And one final suggestion from Chris Duckworth in Princeton, New Jersey. All people should read the New Yorker book of political cartoons. It'll make you laugh and cry all the way to the polling station. And his notes that his name is Chris Duckworth, and he's approved of this email. So, Steve Wasserman, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Steve Wasserman is editor of the Los Angeles Times Book Review, and he joined us from our studios at NPR West. I'm Neil Conan. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News.